Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Young men and women taking the streets in Tehran need our support. The signs are in English. They're basically asking for us to speak up on their behalf, and I appreciate what the president said yesterday, but he's been timid and passive more than I would like.
That was Senator Lindsey Graham speaking Sunday morning on This Week with George Stephanopoulos. I'm Beth Fertig in for Brian Lehrer, and as election unrest continues in Iran, calls are mounting in this country for the Obama administration to take a more active position on the crisis. Meanwhile, on Sunday, the authorities briefly detained relatives of former President Ali Akbar Hashami Rafsanjani, who supported opposition candidate Mir Hussein Mousavi, revealing a rift in the political class. Tehranis took to their roofs last night, shouting, "God is great," and "Death to the dictator," and at least 10 protesters were killed in clashes with the police. Clearly, there's a lot to talk about this morning. And joining us is Azadeh Movani, an Iranian-American writer and author of Honeymoon in Tehran, a memoir set in the cosmopolitan circles of young Tehranis. So the latest from you, do you have a sense, and you're not there at this moment, but do you have a sense from where you are, tell us where you are, of what is happening right now in the streets of Tehran?
Well, I'm in the UK right now, and from talking to friends and family in Iran, it seems that things are very much in a holding pattern right now. People are sort of waiting to see, these are a very sensitive couple days, to see how things unfold. The protests, of course, the last protests were repressed so brutally, you know, reports of helicopters dousing acid on people, and then, of course, these innocent young people being shot in the street. I think it's unclear whether the momentum is going to keep up, and I think that's something we're just going to have to watch unfold. The opposition is reporting that a lot of its websites have been taken down. I've been trying to get on to the Mousavi website today. It's hard to get on, so also not clear whether the means young people have been using to communicate word about these demonstrations and rallies are going to hold up.
And how confident do you feel about the information you're getting? For example, I was watching CNN yesterday, and they weren't able to get their journalists to the scene, so they were relying on a lot of Twittering and messages and eye reports from people who would say, for example, there was a woman in Canada who said, "Well, I'm not there, but my husband or fiance is there, and he's been sending me cell phone images and text messages," and it's a lot of third-hand information. Do you feel like that information is reliable?
I think that you know, it all has to be sort of taken with a grain of salt, because of course, in the absence of firsthand journalism, we're not getting anything, you know, that we don't have to examine very seriously. But I think that if you sort of sit down and very methodically and investing a lot of time, sort of go through all of the videos that are being posted up on Facebook and the posts on Twitter, and if you've got any access at all to people inside Iran, it's possible to get a reasonable sense of what's happened. I think that a lot of the footage that's gone on the internet has gone up is looks very authentic. It doesn't look staged at all. It couldn't be staged. And so I think our overall sense of what's happening, that there are plainclothes militias gunning down people in the street, that there are unarmed young people like the woman Neda, who's become such an icon. She was shot in the street, and that footage has been all over the world. I think we do have a sense of protests all around the country that are going on and that are being put down very brutally.
And as those protests are going on, there's been mounting criticism from the left and the right of how the American president should respond. Yesterday, Connecticut Senator Chris Dodd was on the George Stephanopoulos show with Lindsey Graham, and he warned against the U.S. playing too heavy a hand in the dispute. Let's hear what he said.
The worst thing that we could do at this moment for these reformers, these protesters, these courageous people in Tehran, is allow the government there to claim that this is a U.S.-led opposition. This is a U.S.-led demonstration.
So does Dodd have a point here? How carefully does the U.S. have to tread?
I think there's certainly an important point there, and the U.S. has to tread very carefully, because as with many authoritarian regimes, Washington doesn't want to give this government, the Ahmadinejad government, a pretext to crack down and to label this as a U.S.-instigated protest. And given the history between the U.S. and Iran, it's very delicate. The U.S. doesn't want to be seen as as interfering, but I think that has to be balanced by being on the right side of history. I mean, if this goes down as the most important democratic opposition to this regime in 30 years, the U.S. can't also be seen as sort of timidly standing to the sidelines. So I think it's very important. I think that President Obama has couched his rhetoric very carefully. He's talked very delicately about justice and these kind of universal values, and I think that that kind of approach is smart. And I think also what I'd like to see is perhaps the U.S. sort of encouraging its allies in the region not to recognize this election. Turkey and a lot of Arab states have been very silent, and I think the U.S. can use its leverage there as well.
Azadeh Movani, I want to just bring in our second guest, and I'm told that the line is very tenuous. We have Fawaz Jirjas, a professor of Middle East Studies at Sarah Lawrence College and the author of Journey of the Jihadist, Inside Muslim Militancy. He's joining us from Beirut, where he's preparing to go to Iran. Fawaz, can you just give us your view of how the American reaction is playing overseas?
Well, I think what we need to understand is that the Iranian regime is trying very hard to divert attention from the internal crisis that's unfolding in Iran by blaming the enemies of Iran, the foreign enemies of Iran, and the foreign media, in particular Britain, France, and the United States. And I think in this particular sense, I think the worst thing that the Obama administration could do is to pour fuel on a raging fire, to give the impression that the United States basically is behind the mass protests that we have been witnessing in the last few days. Remember, this is an internal crisis. I think it's one of the most pivotal social movements that we have witnessed in the last 30 years in Iran. And even though I think the ruling mullahs, the conservative ruling mullahs, have won the first round, I would argue that they have sustained life-threatening injuries. I think we are witnessing the beginning, not the end, of the social movement. I think it has gained momentum, confidence, assertiveness, and more followers. And more importantly, I think the social movement is broadly based, and I think it has overcome the barriers of fear by being defiant and challenging the hardliners, conservatives. And I hope that the Obama administration maintains its coolness and does not really basically fall under the pressure by taking a much more vocal, strident position, while at the same time I would like the Obama administration and the international community to voice their support for the aspirations of the Iranian people, that there is a very thin line between supporting the aspirations and the political will of the Iranian people and playing into the hands of the hardliners, the mullahs. I think they are desperate, desperate to say that this particular crisis, the mess that they have created, is the work of the foreign enemies, quote, unquote, of Iran.
And that is the balancing. That's the balancing act that you both have talked about. And I just want us to hear a little bit of the latest from President Obama. This is what he said on CBS's The Early Show.
The incredible demonstrations that we've seen is a testimony to, I think, what Dr. King called the arc of the moral universe. It's long, but it bends towards justice.
So, quoting Martin Luther King, appealing for calm, peaceful demonstrations, is that a code that is sort of going to be taken by people in the Middle East as we're on your side, or is he, as you've said, trying to really balance this so that it doesn't look like the U.S. is interfering too much and that U.S. statements could be used to as a backlash against or blowback against the opposition demonstrators?
Well, remember, I mean, this is really a very complex crisis we are witnessing. And also remember that the international community, particularly the United States, has a very critical responsibility to basically voice its support for the aspirations of the Iranian people. But remember, too, that the ruling mullahs are in charge. The ruling mullahs have the support of the security services, the Revolutionary Guards, military, the police, the various security apparatus of the regime itself. And I would argue that any major strident position on the part of the United States would not play into the hands of the mullahs, but basically would provide them with the ideological ammunition to brutally suppress the opposition. I think the Obama administration and the United States know very well that this particular crisis is not going to be resolved in a week or two or a month and a year. And even though the hardliners have won the first round, I would argue that they have shaken the very foundation of their legitimacy and authority. Iran will never be the same. I think there is no turning back. And in this particular sense, I think the United States knows very well, in particular the Obama administration, that this is a long struggle, and only the Iranian people could win this particular struggle. This is not about foreign policy. Please remember, for our fellow Americans, this is about social policy. This is about economic politics. This is about, remember the rallying cry in Iran today, we want more liberty. Down with the dictatorship. This is not about the nuclear program. This is not about foreign policy. And this is why I think the United States, and in particular the Obama administration, is doing just the right thing by telling the Iranian people, we hear you. Our hearts are with you, but we also know you don't want us to really meddle and interfere in your affairs. He is basically pulling the rug from underneath the feet of the hardliners, mullahs. And even though, as you know, in the last few days, they are trying very hard to say it's the evil Western powers, Britain and the United States and France, who are basically fueling the mass protests that are taking place in Tehran and other cities.
Okay, that's Professor Fawaz Jerjes joining us from Beirut. We've been having some technical problems with his line, but it was really good to hear from you, and I do want to get to some callers as well. In the meantime, Ms. Movani, do you have a sense of how the demonstrators are responding to the American sentiments? Because we've been spending so much of this morning talking about the signals the Obama administration can give.
Well, the people that I've talked to, my family and relatives in Iran who are going to these demonstrations and who are following the U.S. response very closely, there's a real diversity of opinion about this. I think that there are some who feel like this is a brutal dictatorship that is going to crack down regardless of what the world does, and that part of the reason why young people are holding these placards up in English is because they want the world to respond, that the regime needs to feel like it will lose its influence in the region, that there will be repercussions for it on the international stage, and that needs to come through Western pressure. I think there are others who are wary of that, who think that the Obama offer of negotiations is very historic and that Iran shouldn't lose that opportunity if Ahmadinejad does end up staying in power. They think that it would improve Iranians' quality of life if there are relations between the two countries, and somehow things need to be managed in a way that opportunity isn't lost.
Well, how would they continue to capitalize on that if there's no change in the leadership, if the status quo remains and you've got an opposition that is not recognized?
Well, I think there are sort of, I think what I was meaning to say is that they don't want the Obama administration to be so explicit in its support of the protesters and in its condemnation of the regime, such that the regime shuts the door entirely to any prospect of negotiations.
Okay, we're going to be taking some calls from listeners who have a perspective on it, and we have one call right now. Hi, welcome to the show. Hi.
Hello.
Can you give us your name?
Sean?
Okay, Sean, you're calling from New Jersey, I see.
Yes.
What do you think about how the administration is handling this?
100% on target. Christopher Dodd was right and Lindsey Graham was wrong. And I can preface this by also saying, do you remember back when Ahmadinejad originally was running and Bush had made comments, well, it was an illegal election anyway, that the party leaders have already been chosen. And at that time, I believe history shows that the opposition was running quite close to Ahmadinejad. But as soon as the Americans, with our knee-jerk reactions to things, opened our mouths, and it helped swing the election back towards the hardliners, that's what I believe. And secondly, I think that because we are starting to learn who Iranians really are, it's a mirror image and age group to the people who led the revolution back in 1979 to bring the Ayatollahs back into power. It's a mirror image that the age group today that's the young people, are leading a new revolution out of what the Ayatollahs brought them and into an era of prosperity. And that's what I believe. I hope your panel there can comment on that.
I want to hear more about that. Asadeh Movane, do you agree? Is this the second step of the revolution led by young people?
I think that there is certainly an epicenter of these protests and these demonstrations are young people. I think that's what we're seeing and have been seeing in the footage from the very beginning. But I think that when we had, you know, protests on the scale of a five-mile-long sort of river of bodies, it's getting to the point where everyone in society is involved. Young people may be at the vanguard, but older people, teenagers, it's certainly, I think, a reflection of how the last 4 years under Ahmadinejad has made everyone's life worse. My relatives in Iran in their 40s, 50s, 60s are all going out into these protests. So I think that certainly young people and women, I think women are, it's a very more, I think that perhaps it's more important to make that point than even just young people, that it's women who are at the forefront and I think have really captured the spirit of these protests. And I think that reflects how the government has treated them. I mean, these are women make up 60% of university students, and they aren't even permitted to search for the term women in Google because the government filters, censors that out.
Ms. Movane, though, what is it that they really want? Do you see them because it's not as though Mir Hussein Mousavi is, you know, a women's liber exactly. So what are they looking for in this new, in a new regime?
They're looking for very specific changes to the legal codes that would improve their lives. I mean, Mir Hussein Mousavi, no, certainly he's not a sort of secular feminist in the Western mold, but moderates of his ilk certainly support important changes to the law that would end discrimination against women in areas like divorce and child custody. They would oppose legislation that facilitates polygamy. These sorts of things in the daily lives of all women would make a tremendous difference. Women's ability to travel without their husband's permission, their basic status before the law, and a more moderate candidate like Mousavi would certainly promise to deliver that.
So just to go back to this balancing act and what we've been hearing from U.S. politicians, Lindsey Graham brought that issue again to the forefront yesterday during his interview on one of the Sunday shows, and I just want you to hear this.
You know, Ronald Reagan spoke in front of the Berlin Wall. He said, tear it down. He's ready to negotiate. When he was silent on the 1986 election in the Philippines, said there was fraud on both sides, that hurt the cause. So I would hope that the president would speak truth to power. This regime is corrupt. It has blood on its hands in Iran. They've killed Americans in Iraq, innocent Iraqi people. Now they're killing their own people. Stand up with the protesters. That's not meddling. That's doing the right thing.
So this goes back to what you have been saying about the U.S. needs to walk a fine line, or what our government says could be used to further hurt the cause of the opposition. And I want to hear from some more callers, because we have had a few people calling the show right now. Taher in Westchester, do you believe that Obama's approach is walking that fine line? Taher, are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, great.
Yes, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Listen, I think that a lot of this issue having to do with supporting or not supporting the Iranian, you might say, popular insurrection against a fraudulent vote is local, domestic American foreign policy or foreign politics that has to do with the bellicose right in this country, and all the time, making hash over issues with President Obama, who I think is doing a great job. I'm Iranian American, and I tell you, I'm old enough to be at the time of Dr. Mossadegh and his attempt to liberate Iran from foreign colonialists. And I tell you, it runs deep in Iranian society, the fear of foreign intervention in the country. It runs very deep in Iranian society. And the right-wing mullahs have used this at all times to give themselves legitimacy. I think Mr. Obama is doing a great job. He's doing a great job by supporting...
So you don't believe that the U.S. needs to be fanning the flames more,
absolutely
needs to be more
not
outspoken for human rights?
This is right-wing bellicose nonsense. This has to do with... they're comparing Eastern Europe to the Middle East and specifically Iran. Eastern Europe is another, it was another era, another time, another kind of system, another policy.
So we can't say tear down the wall.
No, you can't say tear down the wall, because the fact of the matter is that this demonstration is not against the Islamic Republic and changing the Islamic Republic, but rather reforming it. And at the same time, it's best for the United States, which in some ways is loved and hated at the same time, is to take a very cautious stand about how they support and at the same time stand back from the situation. I think Mr. Obama is a great lawyer, and as an attorney, he really knows how to do this much better, and he needs all the support he can get. And Lindsey Graham, as far as I'm concerned, is a person who has no knowledge of what goes on in Iran and the Middle East. Absolutely nothing.
Thank you very much for your input. We have to wrap up this segment. I'd like to thank, we've been speaking with Azadeh Moveneh about the ongoing election drama in Iran and the role the U.S. should or should not take in intervening. We'll have a lot more to discuss on this topic as the events unfold this week. Ms. Moveneh, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.